Ladies, puberty, PMT, pregnancy, the menopause. Yes, your hormones have been taking you for a ride for years. Hot flushes on the bus, menopausal meltdowns in the office. Whatever those hormones have made you do, Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse are here to lend a sympathetic ear. Why not write in and share your hormonal hell with the girls? Don't worry, they've heard it all before. It's time to put those hormones in the firing line. This is Dear Hormones. Welcome to your safe space, ladies. Coming up on today's show, one woman's menopausal mishap at the gym, why gymnastics and periods don't mix, and a tale of menopausal rage over an iPad.
Hello and welcome back to Dear Hormones. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Jenny.
And how have you been this week?
Oh, I've been okay this week. How about you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I did notice that you turned up about 20 minutes late today, which is pretty good, actually.
20 minutes for me is not bad.
No, that's really good. You're getting better.
I aimed for half an hour early and then I was 20 minutes late.
Listen, before we start, I just want to say begrüßing and bedankt. Do you know why I'm saying this, Kate?
No, I don't. I'm quite perplexed.
Right, listen to this. Your mind is about to be blown.
Oh my gosh.
We have been, last week, number 102 in the comedy charts in the Netherlands. So I just
stop it.
So I just want to say a big bedankt to all our lovely fans out there. And begrüßing, which is hello, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds unlikely. But bedankt sounds very right.
That sounds right.
Bedankt.
But Kate, it doesn't stop there. I now want to say, Azunte.
Can I guess the country?
Yes, go on.
Azunte.
Yeah, Azunte.
We've gone south a little bit, I think. We're not in Portugal, are we?
We're near Portugal.
Oh, where are we? Are we in Asia somewhere?
Listen, we have peaked at number 19 in the comedy charts in Kenya. Hi, guys.
Hello over there. That's incredible.
Isn't that
news.
Exciting? There's somebody, it probably equates to one person, I don't know, but somebody in Kenya as listening to this show and the Netherlands. So hello to all our international fans.
And thinks we're in the comedy charts. I mean, that's even better.
I'm not quite sure how that happened. Right, okay, let's talk about this episode. This is also very exciting. So in this episode, we basically, Kate, have podcast royalty on this show. So later on, we are going to hear from none other than Elizabeth Day herself. She is the host of the How to Fail podcast. She also does another one called Best Friend Therapy. And I mean, seriously, we're excited about being number 102 in the Netherlands comedy chart. How to Fail is kind of breaking all records left, right and center in all kinds of podcast charts. And she's a lovely, lovely friend of mine. She's also an incredible author and award-winning journalist. And she, bless her, is going to share her hormonal journey with us. And we'll play that out at the end of the show. So hang tight, guys.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth Day. How fantastic.
I know. I'm so pleased that she's done that for us. Because she obviously gets requests left, right and centre these days. And she's busy, you know, interviewing literally like Hollywood superstars. So the fact that she has found the time to do this for us is very humbling. Thank you, Liz. Right. Shall we crack on with our podcast with letter number one?
Letter number one is entitled Gym Bunny, and I know I've read this letter already, Jenny. You haven't, but it makes me laugh. So comedy charts. Let's see if we can get higher than number 102 in Belgium with this.
Not in Belgium.
Oh, sorry.
don't insult our
fans. Oh no, it's the Netherlands. I'm so sorry.
Kenya. Sorry.
And Kenya. So this is letter number one. It's entitled Gym Bunny. And this comes to us from Scarlett. Dear Jenny and Kate, I've been a fan of your podcast for some time, and I first wrote to you during season one of Dear Hormones. I told you of my love for open water swimming, and also of an uncomfortable bikini waxing moment during which my undercarriage was tended to by one of my secondary school students.
Oh, Kate, wasn't that a good letter?
I remember it vividly.
It was such a good letter.
I am writing to tell you of another menopausal moment. This came to mind as I listened to Zoe Lyons' Clean and Jerk story. So she...
Which, by the way, is we made that video, didn't we, Kate? We put it on our Instagram page. You'll be able to find that somewhere. of Zoe Lyons. Yeah, she actually gave herself a black eye, didn't she, by doing a clean and jerk, which is a weightlifting move.
Just be careful, guys, when you're in the gym. So Scarlett's been in the gym as well, apparently. Here we go. Recently, when on the running machine in the gym, I was overcome with a hot flush. Frantically wiping the sweat from my brow, I was determined that my hormones would not get the better of my exercise regime. But what with the overpowering waves of heat that were assailing me, and my eyes being obscured as I furiously wiped my forehead, I became disorientated. And the next thing I knew, I had fallen right off the running machine, and I was lying on the floor. Poor Scarlett!
Oh my God.
She's literally fallen off the running machine because of a hot flush.
Kate.
Luckily, my body wasn't badly injured, but my pride took a bit of a battering.
I feel so sorry for her because I sometimes go to the gym, and that is a genuine fear that I have that I'm going to suddenly kind of lose my balance or, you know, something and get shot off the running machine. Because you see it in comedy shows, don't you? People like falling off the running machine. And also that, I'm surprised she didn't badly injure herself.
I'm surprised as well.
Yeah, because there's a lot of scraping and chafing could happen during a running machine incident, couldn't it? Poor Scarlett.
She was properly on the floor.
How embarrassing.
And it makes me think about, you were talking about spatial awareness being something that you can have a problem with during menopause.
Yes.
And I'm wondering whether that's also, you know, it's quite a small strip, isn't it, on the running machine that you have to keep your feet on. Just one little foot, but if you misjudge that slightly.
Yeah, definitely a spatial awareness thing. Speaking of which, you had a spatial awareness story for us, didn't you? You said something happened to you the other day. What was it? You have to go into it in detail, Kate. But
I think it's me and driving at the moment. I'm a little bit, you know, I did knock off somebody's wing mirror.
Oh, did you?
It's never happened to me before.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Kate.
And I also misjudged a situation when I was reversing into a space the other day.
Oh, Kate. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. Mm. Yeah. Won't go into it anymore. I'm embarrassed.
Oh,
I've fessed up to it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an expensive mistake, the wing mirror. Really expensive. Who knew? I thought, you know, a wing mirror, that can't cost much.
Hang on. Was it your wing mirror or somebody else's?
No, our wing mirror was fine, strangely. It was someone else's wing mirror.
That will be a spatial awareness thing. I'm going to put that on Kate's menopause watch list. I think I'm putting it down. I need to find that list, actually. We'll go through them again one time.
Anyway, Scarlett, thank you for sharing. I feel Scarlett could probably write a whole book about her different adventures. The bikini waxing moment, falling off the running machine. Scarlett, what's going to happen next?
I wonder how she fell off it. You know, did it sort of skid her backwards? You know, I wonder in what direction she kind of fell off. I'd just love to have seen it. That's all.
Should we write back to her?
Yeah, let's find out. And then we can recreate it for the Instagram page. Right, shall we crack on with letter number two? This one is called Leotard and it comes from Bonnie in Hereford. Dear Jenny and Kate, I was really into gymnastics as a young girl and was lucky enough to compete in lots of competitions. I remember being around 12 or 13 and was heading to another competition with my mum, feeling nervous and excited all at the same time. The competition started and I went off to warm up, doing lots of stretching and lunging on the gym mat. It was then that my mum sidled over to me and said, "You may want to come to the bathroom," in what sounded like quite an urgent tone, slightly aggressive. This wasn't like my mum at all. I reluctantly followed her to the loo, not feeling like I needed to go at all and wondering why she felt the need to escort me in there. Once in the ladies, She asked again if I needed the loo, and her eyes wandered down to my crotch. I followed her gaze, and to my horror, I saw a stain on my leotard. Confused, I ran into the cubicle, and there it was, my first period, in my leotard. Oh my God, Kate, poor
just
girl.
Just before a competition just, as well.
I know, in a leotard. Mum told me to whip it off so she could wash it under the taps and then dry it with the hand dryer. All the time with me standing naked-ish in the cubicle, I was mortified. Mum managed to find me a pad to put in place, and then I had to go back out there and do all my routines. I felt like I had a blanket between my legs, and it made me so self-conscious. I felt like people would know what had happened just by looking at me and my form. It was absolutely awful, and I moved on to using Tampax the very next day. Being the gymnast and swimmer that I was, I had very little choice. What a story, Kate. Oh. Your first period there. It reminds me, do you remember when I told you, I think it was on the podcast, wasn't it? When I also had my period at school in a leotard and had one of those massive pads
in
place.
You said it was like a brick, didn't you?
It was like a brick. And that's when they made me roll up onto my shoulders and do bicycle legs. So that I actually had to launch the pad high into the air. So that's what this girl was about to do, a gymnastics routine. So she quite likely, probably not bicycle legs, but she was quite likely going to be doing all kinds of things, forward walkovers, handstands, what you name it.
And she had an audience watching her as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not belittling your bicycle legs because that sounds terrible. And I'm sure you felt as though everybody was watching you when you were doing that.
Yeah.
But they possibly weren't. Whereas this girl, people would have been watching her and she would have known that.
Yeah.
Bonnie.
Oh my goodness, you poor thing. And also your first period. So it's not even the fact that she came on her period during a competition.
Yeah.
It's the fact that she had a very first period, which can be quite, it is alarming, isn't it, at first. And I mean, I burst into tears when I got my first period. And here she is about to go and compete. Bonnie.
Thank goodness her mum was there.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Actually, it's reminded me of another story. Stop me if I've told you this already. Have I ever told you about the gymnastics competition that I was entered into at secondary school? Have I ever told you the story?
I don't think so.
So my sister was very good at gymnastics, like really good.
Wow.
And my sister and I are very different in terms of our build. You know, she's sort of much more feminine than me. She's very bendy. You know, she's great at gymnastics, what I'm kind of trying to say. She's athletic. I'm very up and down, Kate, stiff as a board. And because she was so good at gymnastics, when I then went up to the secondary school, my gym teacher automatically assumed that I too was good at gymnastics and entered me into a countywide competition, right?
No.
I was not good at gymnastics. I just want to say I was not good at gymnastics. And I remember sitting then in this line waiting to do my routine with these other girls who just looked like amazing. They're sitting next to me. And I remember whispering to them going, can you do a forward walkover? And they'd be going, yeah, yeah, I can do that. All right. Can you do the splits? Yeah, yeah, I can do the splits. Oh, okay, right. Couldn't do either of those things. Then it was my turn up to this floor routine, Kate. I had in my kit bag, basically, I had a cartwheel, a forward roll and a backward roll and a lot of prancing about. And after each thing that I did, like forward roll, I'd then stand up and do that big thing they do in gymnastics where they swing their arms up above their head. Do you know what I mean? To try and disguise the fact that I've literally just done a forward roll. And from a distance, I could see my gym teacher who was marking another exercise going on at the other side of the hall. I could see her watching me and I saw her face fall when I started. It was awful. I was only 11. It was awful.
That's so funny. Do you know, Jenny, I've got a feeling I might have heard that story before. But if so, it doesn't matter because it's such a good story. And if Jenny has told that on the podcast before, she's telling it again. It's worth it.
Yeah. And also, because I'm menopausal, I can't remember what I've talked about on this podcast.
I'm menopausal, I can't remember what Jenny's talked about.
Yeah, sorry if I've done that.
And because you're all menopausal, you won't be able to remember. Yeah.
Anyway, Bonnie, thank you so much for writing in. And I hope your future periods were not quite as traumatic as that one. Didn't happen when you were... Well, at least she went on to Tampax, didn't she? So, you know, she won't have had that awful situation with those pads, those awful, awful pads. Oh, Kate.
Here comes letter number 3. It's called Birthday Present. This is from Marie in North London. Dear Jenny and Kate, hormones are a cause of a lot of my outbursts. But for this one I'm about to tell you about, I'm pretty sure I was in my happy week of my cycle, so I'm not even sure I can blame them for this one. It all started when my teenage son asked me for a cuddle at bedtime. Oh, I love you, Mum, he cooed as he snuggled into me and squeezed me tightly before turning off his light.
Oh, teenage son as well. That's how nice.
Absolutely lovely. What a lucky mum I am, I thought, as I closed his bedroom door.
So I'm laughing. I don't know why I'm laughing. I feel like it's going to be funny.
Okay. But by the time I'd reached the bottom of the stairs, another thought had occurred to me. This behaviour was uncharacteristic of my boy.
Right.
What was he playing at? Suspiciously, I tiptoed back up the stairs and crept into his bedroom. Aha! Caught red-handed. There he was, under the covers, lights off, but iPad very much on. We have clear rules in our house about when devices can and can't be used, and this was very much against those rules. That cuddle had been entirely premeditated. I was so angry and disappointed, and I told him so before confiscating the offending iPad and saying that I expected an apology in the morning. Now, it does sound as though they have, I mean, it's wonderful that they have such firm rules in their house.
Yes, yes. It's made me feel much better about the fact that he did premeditate that hug.
Because it was premeditated, wasn't it?
Yes, because it makes me feel like, great, not all teenage sons are snuggling up with their mums, which I'm not getting that these days. So
it was all for a reason. The morning came. The apology did not. My son seemed oblivious to the fact that I was still smarting from his offence. He was acting as if nothing had happened. The longer this went on, the madder I became. And when he left for school, and a sorry had still not been forthcoming, I poured out my grievances to my husband, who was thankfully there to lend an understanding ear. He made all the right sympathetic sounds. Good to have an ally to fight my corner, or so I thought. He would surely be bound to have a serious talk to our son after school and explain to him how his disregard of our house rules, the sly way he had hidden behind the front of that cuddle, and to top it all off, the lack of apology, were unacceptable.
I love it.
After a hard day at work and wondering which my thoughts had frequently returned to my disappointment in my son, I returned home.
Also, let's just stop there. That is the menopause, isn't it? She's not being able to think about anything else. She's fixating. She's fixating big time here.
She is. What was that sound? Happy noises were coming from the kitchen. Was that laughter? I followed the sound, and what did I find? My son and husband laughing heartily together over something that they were watching on the iPad.
I'm laughing so much here, Kate.
They were pretty much doubled over at the hilarity of it. And they both looked up at me and gave me a brief nod to acknowledge I was there, after which their eyes returned to the screen. At this point, I exploded. I explained how angry I was, not just about the deceit and the rule breaking, but about the fact that there was zero awareness of how upset I was by it all and zero apology. I do so much for you, I explained, and wasn't that the truth? I spend all of my time doing things for you. I organise everything, ferry you everywhere. Spend every waking moment trying to make your life easier and more fun. Well, I've had enough. And you, I directed my gaze at my husband, by whom I now felt betrayed in equal measure, you're just as bad. You both need to fucking grow up.
Oh my God. Everything you were saying there, Kate, I was like with her every step of the way. I was like, yes, Yes, you do too much, don't you? Yes, you do. You spend all of your time doing things for them. Yes, you do. You organise everything. Yes, you do. I was like, really kind of like spurring her on.
Absolutely.
We've all been there. Well, I've certainly been there. I know lots of people that I know definitely been there. I love that she's livid with her husband.
So true.
She's walked in and he's actually having a laugh with the iPad.
With the iPad. That's like the straw that breaks the camel's back, isn't it? But it's so true, spending every waking moment trying to make your life easier and more fun. That's it. You sometimes feel like that, don't you, with children?
Yeah.
As though you're just, your role in life is just trying to make things nicer for them all the time.
Yeah.
And she's not asking for much, Marie, is she? She's not asking for much. And she just wants an apology and a bit of understanding here.
Because they haven't realised that all the live long day she's been stewing and obsessing about this particular thing. So they would have been taken completely by surprise when she came in with that reaction. Because they just like quite unaware of how much she'd fixated throughout
completely.
The day.
Oh. Right, we'll take it from fucking grow up.
I just love hearing you swear, Kate.
Perhaps I need to justify what I did next. I have 3 sons and a husband, and whilst I love them unquestioningly, unquestioningly, maybe I did say it right, there are times when I am fed up by the fact that I am the linchpin of the family. I hold everything together. I organise pretty much everything, and very, very rarely is any gratitude or awareness of that displayed.
Oh my goodness. I've got a friend, I won't mention their names, but only the other day, almost word for word, that came out of her mouth.
Well, let's see if your friend would do what Marie's about to do. I decided to deal a master blow. My son's 14th birthday was coming up, and I explained that I would not be doing a single stroke of organisation or present purchasing for that one. Your best mate can sort it all out for you, I declared, pointing to my husband, who looked like a rabbit in the headlights. And I saw it through.
Oh, she's done it.
I did feel a bit guilty when my son woke up on his birthday and only had a single present provided by the family of a best friend to open.
Oh no! So the husband, the best friend, hasn't actually bought him anything.
So that you don't think I'm a horrible person, I'll say in my defence that I had previously arranged various season-specific early birthday presents a month or so before. But the spread of special, thoughtful little gifts and breakfast treats he would normally be surrounded by was missing this year.
Oh my God.
Predictably, my husband made an absolute meal of, well, organising the birthday meal for my son's friends. Different mums had said that different dates worked, he explained. What should he do?
Welcome to our world.
Part of me wished my son had been younger and at the whole class mega birthday party stage so that the organisation of that had fallen to him.
Yeah, exactly. They were a nightmare, weren't they?
Funnily enough, all of the mums my husband texted to find a date for the birthday party ended up checking in with me anyway.
Oh.
They were curious to see if I was using my husband's phone or if it was actually him doing the organising. Apparently it is that rare for a dad to do it. I'm sure that's not true of all dads. I'm going to say any dads listening
now.
Yeah,
sorry guys.
But in Marie's circle, it sounds like it is. I like to think that I've made a point and that the men in my house will be a bit more aware and appreciative going forwards. As I say, on that occasion, they caught me at a happy point, hormonally speaking. They should thank their lucky stars for that.
Yeah, I'd love to know. I'd love to know where she'd have got taken that if it hadn't been the happy place.
Oh, Marie, you are a legend.
Because this is the thing, isn't it? Like, particularly if you're menopausal and you're having a rant and a rage, you've got to be very careful what you threaten those kids with or your husband with if you want to see it through.
Yeah.
So that was a big, bold one that she went to there with the, I'm not going to organise anything. You know, that was pretty big, wasn't it? But then she saw it through. Major hats off to Marie. That was some going. Well done. Well done.
Well done you, Marie. And I do hope that the boys in her household do now be a bit more appreciative towards her.
Have you ever done that, Kate, where you've sort of made a threat to the family and then either seen it through or not seen it through?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I actually have, no. I mean, my children are generally very appreciative, I have to say. And actually, my daughter listened to our episode 2. Was it episode 2?
Yeah.
The one where we talked about my son who had his things into... And I think I said a sentence there, which was, I'm fed up of my children thinking that I'm just there. My sole purpose in life is to be their slave. And she said, Mum, I'm so sorry that you think that that's the case, because I really, really don't. I really appreciate so much everything that you do. And I thought, oh.
Okay.
So just to say it out here right now, my children actually are very appreciative and very lovely. And there is very rarely actually a reason to... I'm fortunate that they are that way.
Well, great. Well done, you.
It's nothing I've done.
There was an incident once with my son. Now looking back, it was absolutely obvious that I was in the midst of my worst of the perimenopause. Now, I'm not going to go into the full details of what happened, but he did something that was I was really upset by. And the punishment for that was to have no screen time for a week. And what I hadn't realised was that across that week was the class camping trip.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And we stuck with it. So there was at one point, I mean, I feel sad now thinking about it, Kate, because I think obviously I was perimenopausal and it was a bit over the top, this sort of threat. But I remember there was at one point all the kids were together. I'm feeling I might cry. All the kids were together in a tent, and they were young, probably about 8, 9. And they were all looking at a laptop, someone's iPad and playing games. And I saw him in there and I was went, oi, out, like that. And got him out of there and he went and hung out with a couple of the older girls instead. Because all his mates were in there. Yeah, because I was seeing it through. So, I mean, I suppose, in some ways, is that good, Kate? I feel like I need some therapy.
No, I think, it is the right thing. If you say something, you do need to see it through. And what I would say to you is that your son is a very happy, very well-balanced boy.
Oh, is he, though?
And I'm sure I'm sure the same is true of Marie.
So
to reproach yourselves for.
Yeah. And you know what, Marie? We have to stick to these threats sometimes, right? That we've got to teach those kids a lesson. Right, cracking on. I'd just like to apologise to my son for that. It was a little bit over the top. If I'd realised the camping trip had been on the agenda, I may not have made... I might have done the, you can't have the iPad for 3 days, so that he had it back for the... Anyway, it's done now. So Kate, we're on to letter number 4 now, which is Elizabeth Day. Thank you so much for doing this for us. And this is Elizabeth Day's hormonal journey.
My story with my hormones is actually that there wasn't a story for a really long time, or that's what I thought. I was lucky enough never to suffer from really bad menstrual cramps or PMS. And throughout my teenage years, I sort of took my period in my stride. I kind of understood that it was part and parcel of my evolution as a cis woman. And I didn't think that I was affected by hormones. Little did I know that when it came to my mid to late 30s, I would feel hormones like I had never felt them before. And I say little did I know because genuinely, I didn't know anything. I wasn't taught anything. My mother never spoke to me about her experience of menopause. And I think that that's quite a common story. I'm about to turn 45 and very often our mothers didn't feel comfortable talking about the things that they went through. And that's part of a wider culture of the marginalization of female experience and particularly female pain. So when it came to my late 30s, I just didn't understand really what was happening. And I'd come to the end of a decade at that stage of fertility treatment and recurrent miscarriage. And I think all of that contributed. And suddenly my periods, which had been regular for so long, were no longer regular, became a lot heavier. And I realized that I was also feeling so much less in control and that I would feel anxious, but I would also feel depressed. And every single cycle, I would find myself feeling so flat, but without knowing why. And I thought, well, this is it then. This is the gradual slide into dispirited oblivion. And then I'd get my period and I'd be like, oh no, it was that. And it actually prompted a conversation with my mother. And she said, yes, I remember that happening too, but we'd never had that conversation before. And now I'm in, well, I was about to say early 40s, but because I turned 45, I don't think that's my category anymore. I guess I'm mid-40s, mid to late 40s. And I am officially perimenopausal, bring out the bunting. And I recently decided to let go of my dream of having a baby after another unsuccessful round of fertility treatment. And I feel at peace with that decision in a way that I never thought I would. But I do firmly believe that all of the hormones that I had to be on for those successive rounds of IVF and egg freezing have really had a knock-on effect. And it hasn't all been negative, because actually one of the benefits was that I became so much more in tune with my body and so much more aware of how the hormones were affecting me. And for me, it would generally affect my mood rather than my physical self. So I now understand that I will likely feel sort of disconnected and out of sorts, and as if I'm viewing the world through a slightly foggy prism. That for me is a sign that my hormones are in some way out of balance. And I, at the beginning of this year, started having recurrent hot flushes, and I didn't have my period for 3 months. And I had that feeling of fogginess, of anxiety. And I'm very blessed that I have a best friend, Emma. And I also have my dear friend, Jenny, who have been navigating menopause and were able to share their wisdom with me so that I didn't feel panicked, because I can believe that it is immensely panicking and unmooring if you suddenly feel that you're losing grip of who you are and no one is there to tell you actually it's part of your hormonal evolution. So I went to a doctor and had all my blood levels checked, because I think part of the hormonal misalignment, part of how it expresses itself in me, is that it makes me feel that I'm unhinged or that I'm inventing things. And I actually really needed to see the black and white proof that I was low in estrogen and this was going to be the start of this process to come. And I was all geared up to be like, give me the HRT. But then, as is the way, I got my period and now I've had it, you know, fairly regularly for the last few months, and the hot flushes have receded for a bit, and I know that they'll come back. But I think that's part of the frustration, is that there is no timeline and we just have to surrender to it. And when we are women who are used to doing lots of things and providing the emotional labour for lots of people to a very high level, it can feel really tricky being out of control. So that's my hormone journey so far, but I look forward to updating you in a few months' time.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much, Elizabeth Day, for being on our podcast and for speaking so eloquently. I mean, I wonder if she's available to actually take this podcast over, Kate, on our behalf, because I mean, I've never heard anything so fantastic in terms of how wonderfully she speaks.
She speaks beautifully and so clearly, and yeah, with none of the repeating herself that we sometimes do, Jenny.
Sometimes. But isn't everything she said, I was thinking, yes, 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 you know, because, you know, she's talking about the knowing, like she says that she now knows what to expect. She knows she's low in estrogen. She knows the journey that she's on now.
Yeah.
And that in itself is kind of enough. You know, she's not going to have these scary kind of what's happening to me moments that I think lots of people have. And that's the great thing about the fact that everyone now is talking about the menopause,
yeah,
you know, and women's health in general.
And she was saying, wasn't she, about how for women who often we've been organising so many things all our lives and we've been very in control. But with the menopause, we don't know when it's going to end. We don't know when that journey is going to end. There are unknowns, but knowledge and having the wisdom of our friends, your wisdom, Jenny, she benefited from, and from her friend Emma, knowledge really is so hugely helpful. And the fact that we're all talking about this, numbers mean power.
Yeah, exactly. There's power in numbers, isn't there? Mm. It's the fact that we're all, like you say, it's just what you've said, Kate. You know, we're all talking about it. And so everybody's on the journey together, you know, which is lovely, isn't it? And what a lovely way to finish the podcast. Massive, massive thank you again to Liz, Elizabeth Day. We are so honoured that you have come on our podcast. Thank you so much.
And Liz, you will be getting a badge.
Yeah. Oh, now listen, you've called her Liz there, and I don't know how happy she'll be.
Sorry, you've been calling her Liz.
I'm joking.
Elizabeth.
Sorry, I should have said that. I do actually call her Liz, but I think everyone calls her Elizabeth. But that was just funny hearing somebody else call her Liz. Yeah, but no, I'm only joking, Kate. Carry on. She won't really be offended. Of course she won't be offended. I'm only joking. But yes, of course, Elizabeth Day. Liz, you'll be getting a badge. How exciting. So we'll be getting that through to you. Hopefully you'll be wearing it every single day at all your massive events. Next time you interview some huge Hollywood star, we expect you to be wearing that badge with pride.
And Marie and Bonnie and Scarlett, whatever you may be doing, you will also have your badges to wear. Thank you so much for your amazing letters.
Yeah, all be forming a lovely little Dear Hormones badge wearing club. Thank you so much for listening. Now, don't forget, if you've got a hormonal story for us, please get in touch. We are getting some of the best letters we've ever had this season. So if you could, if you've got something you want to share, if you can write to us at dearhormones@yahoo.com, and you can DM us at Instagram, which is @dearhormones. What else do we need to tell them? I know, please, if you don't mind, it'd be brilliant if you could rate, review and share the podcast. So I think if you can subscribe to the podcast, it really, really helps to get the word out there.
We might even get above number 19 in Kenya.
What if we did?
Yeah.
Yeah. And 102, was it? In the Netherlands. So we'll keep you posted on that, guys. But that's down to you lot. That's down to you lot. Thanks so much. And we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was Dear Hormones with Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse. If you've got a story to share, email the girls at dearhormones@yahoo.com or they're @dearhormones on Instagram. Until next time...